NetFront Presence is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
And that's 1-800-BYDESIGN.
Welcome to NetFront Presence. I'm Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch, joined by beat reporter Jim Thomas of the Post-Dispatch. Our friend Tom Timmerman is on assignment, so it'll just be JT and myself talking about the Blues, and they're not in a good place, Jim. They lose the first two games in Colorado, and they lose defenseman Justin Falk and Robert Bortuzzo to apparent concussions. Things aren't looking good for our heroes, Jim.
No. We knew this was going to be an uphill battle. I think all along, Jeff, you feared this matchup more than Vegas. And boy, it sure looks like you're right now. They just can't hang with Colorado. Colorado skating's been mesmerizing. I mean, what a player McKinnon is. But really, last night's game, I think, was more. I pointed out in my game story, which folks can still read on STLtoday.com. It was as much the net front presence. Boy, that has a familiar sound with those words. But time and time again, they got people in front of the net, be it Landeskog, be it Jonas Dornsky, and they made the Blues play. Poor Binnington. I don't think he saw any of those shots.
Yeah, you know, it's part skill, part luck. I mean, it's amazing when you look at those shots from the back view camera angle. It's amazing they got through, JT, but they did. And I mean, just through arms and legs, and then again, the great screens in front. So part skill, part luck. But I guess as Craig Berube said after the game, the key is it'd be nice to get in front of some of those shots. I mean, we're not talking about the nastiest shots of all time, but they weren't blocked. They got through and they went in the net.
Yeah. And he was more upset, I think, with that than the fact that that the Blues really didn't box out. But I do have to say that this will be one of the things that when we think about this defense, and they're going to end up, if you throw in the playoffs, they ended up just below three goals a game, but they're over three goals a game now. But when we look back at the defense, they just not as stout in front of the net as the past teams, the more recent teams. And okay, you can say, okay, there's no Petro, there's no Bouwmeester, but there are a lot of guys that were still around from last year. And there's, I guess, four or five defenders who are around from the Stanley Cup team. So it's puzzling why they're not tougher, stouter in front of the net. But yeah, I think he was more upset about, as you mentioned, Jeff, that they didn't get out on the shots. And there was one time where McKinnon was more is kind of his favorite spot in the center of the ice, kind of up by the blue line. And O'Reilly was, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 feet. And he just kind of almost stared at him. It was like, he was almost afraid to go up on McKinnon for fear that McKinnon would skate around him or something. But a couple of the shots were like that. And yeah, you're right. A couple of those goals were not like screamers, you know, were blistering shots or anything. So a strange night, really a strange day all around for the Blues in this strange season.
Yeah, and let's talk about the loss of the two defensemen, because this is not going to make it any easier. Robert Bortuzzo catches an elbow from Tyson Jost, and then the flying headshot by Nazem Kadri, who probably won't be seen again in this series as he's facing NHL discipline, is a repeat offender, and that was as egregious as it gets. But without these two guys, you're talking about the potential of hoping Vince Dunn can play. And Dan, what else you have? What, the great Santini making his
appearance? Yeah, you got the great Santini. And what if Dunn's not available and both of these guys are out, Bortuzzo and Falk? What are you down to? Because Berube said last night that he said, in a rare bit of candor as far as COVID, he said Walman will not be available Friday. So you look at that roster, and the next man up again, this is if Dunn can't play, and he's missed, what, he missed the last 11 regular season games, two playoff games, and unlucky 13. Mitch Reinke is your next guy off the bench, who I believe played one game. He came out of college. What was that? That was about 17, 18, 18, 19, one of those years. So as the kids say, it's been a minute. And I sure don't expect Bortuzzo and Falk, especially Falk, but maybe equally Bortuzzo, because he's had a concussion already this season, concussion and facial injuries in the very first game, and was out a fair amount. And my goodness, Falk, I think anyone would agree, hands down, has been the best, their best defenseman this season, logged all kinds of minutes. And Bortuzzo, you know, he got back in the lineup right when they started that 8-1-3 finishing kick. It added, you know, some snarly play, aggressiveness, and for him to be out there, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and he's probably the most willing shot blocker of the D-men, and that is something that, again, going back to what the chief had to say, exactly what he's looking for. And so you lose your shot blocker and a guy with snarl, a guy that, and also you're really your true number one defenseman who's been physical and solid in every way. You know, again, he's not at the level of the cup level Blues D, but he has played so well. And against a team that has been just backing the Blues in with speed and then sustaining pressure with traffic. I don't know, JT, I'm trying to draw up a scenario that offers some hope to our listeners, but you can kind of see where this might be headed.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm just wondering, can the Blues win one of two here at home? Because I just, you know, let's face it, Colorado is the better team. I guess in the big picture, this is maybe probably for our season ender, which may be coming up sooner than we think. How did, you know, last year the Blues were ahead of Colorado. They were ahead of Vegas, now barely ahead of Colorado. If we remember pre-pandemic pause, they were neck and neck. But how do those teams pass the Blues so quickly? But again, maybe that's a subject for after this is all over. You know, when you mentioned Bortuzzo and blocking shots, you made me think of Oscar Sundquist, who was really a good shot blocker on the penalty kill, where he would maybe potentially be out front, and just in all situations, it made me think how much they miss Oscar Sundquist. But not even a healthy Oscar Sundquist, I think, would help out here. Yeah, it doesn't look pretty. You know, I think it was encouraging how they played the last half of the game, but that would be maybe the glass half full. You know, Ryan O'Reilly, who's always been optimist, talked about how, you know, maybe we found our game and how to play these guys. But, you know, Doug Armstrong has a phrase for this too. He calls it loser hockey. Okay, you fall down big, you know, fall behind big, and then you play well, but not well enough to get back in the game. And so, yeah, I don't know, Jeff.
I think when you look at the big picture, and that'll be certainly something we will down the road in that front, if you look at the team, you know, maybe two guys played up to their or exceeded their, probably two guys slightly exceeded their expectations of O'Reilly and Perron. Overall, I think you would add Falk would be number three to that. And then you start looking down the list, and either guys came up a little short, like maybe Torrey Krug, or fell off the face of the planet. You know, and I look at guys like, I just shake my head going back over some of the players. You know, obviously Tarasenko has not been able to make any sort of comeback from his injury.
Right.
Robert Thomas was a really good player last year, and you forget how effective he, you know, and then boy, he's been borderline useless this season.
Injuries significantly disappointing. Yeah.
And then you go down the list, you know, and Colton Parayko is not the same guy because of the injuries, and then guys missing. And, you know, of course you don't have Perron for this. And it's just been the season, JTF, I guess it sort of encapsulated in watching this playoff series, where you lose Perron to COVID, who absolutely needed. You get a couple of untimely injuries, and the team isn't quite where it needed to be to start with. It just sort of sums up you know, the whole experience this year. It's been an odd year.
Yeah, it has been a very odd year. I would throw Jordan Cairo into the kind of maybe exceeded expectations, but yeah, you know, there was a play, if you had a snapshot of maybe Robert Thomas's season, and it led, I believe it was the first power play goal, but it's early in the game and he's got the puck in his own end. Remember the delay of game?
Oh yeah.
The glass. He had time. He had space. There was no need for him to, one, to get rid of the puck, much less flip it over the glass. He could have skated out. He could have just waited. And in some ways that summed up the guy's season. And there were moments like that. I pointed out a couple of them in the story, just frustrating moments. Like the Blues do battle back. They make it 3-2. It's like, wow, they got some momentum. And then there's a play down the ice. And Torrey Krug, and I realize that at that point, they've been playing with just four defensemen and playing with just four defensemen for a little bit. But it looked like it was his puck. Somehow, it looked like he had the angle. Somehow, Rantanen, who's a pretty big guy, beats him to the puck, gets the puck, and then bam, bam, boom, like 4 seconds later, it's in the Blues net. And we've seen that, I've noticed that a few times over the course of the season on those plays where you're going back to retrieve. I don't want to say Krug is coasting, but it's like, it just seems like he should have got there faster and the other team ends up with a puck. So that's an example of, a puck battle that I thought really shouldn't have even been a battle. A little thing like that leads to a goal. And the other thing, kind of the yin and the yang of Mike Hoffman, blisters that shot off the rush for the goal. And then down the stretch in 6-on-5, he doesn't even breathe on Brandon Saad. And then Chief Berube was, you could tell in his comments, he was really upset with that. He said, you got to kill that play. You got to get on that play. And he just didn't. He just kind of circled around, didn't touch Saad. And Saad makes a 105-foot empty net goal, 5-3. And that was the game, you know. Little things like that, even the Blues of last year, we just didn't see stuff like that as frequently as we see it this season.
Yeah, that's going to be the, talking about Hoffman, you know, you see this team desperately needs his weapon because they had guys that were, frankly, other than Cairo, who's creating his shot and taking a shot with his great speed, Hoffman looking for a shot. There just wasn't a lot of guys generating much, getting shots through, being dangerous. So at least he has the shot. But, at times he plays okay overall. But then you have that moment with the game on the line and you're in an absolutely desperate situation and you didn't really play desperate hockey there, which was kind of the mantra for this group when they won the cup. And every shift they were desperate. And that's why they won. Even when they had a terrible game, they came back the next game and because they never lost that edge. And so I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it sums up the unevenness of Hoffman. Just, again, sums up his year, maybe his career, but also this team.
Yeah, yeah. If you wonder maybe why he was still out there, granted there were, cap considerations, wonder why he was out there and he got only, air quotes, $4 million, that last play kind of showed that.
Now, looking back, going back to the D, if there was a positive, Colton Parayko having to play all those minutes, he tried to rise to the occasion. I actually saw him throw a firm body check on the wall and toppled Cale Makar. I'm like, whoa, which familiar topic here on the net front, that sort of thing can happen all the time. But so I thought, he showed some signs of the old Colton Parayko, which is, you're going to need a lot more than signs of that next year. But then I guess a disappointment would be Marco Scandella. I know he's not Jay Bouwmeester. He was just forced to play the Jay Bouwmeester role because of the timing of his arrival and Jay's demise. But, well, he gives up a lot of real estate against the rush. And yeah. I think we're seeing the, I guess a lot of people do against Colorado. Make no mistake about that. But, he was real noticeable, man. They back up and they give up ice against when the Lance gets skating, the Blues are in trouble.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I was curious about that because you don't know how much TV shows so often. And I even asked Berube about this. I think it was between games 1 and 2, just you know, he wants them to forecheck. He wants them to maintain position, but possession. But so many times I see those both D-men backing out when there's a right as a loose puck comes, you know, kind of in the middle of the ice of the Blues O-zone. But it's too late. Instead of pinching in, the defensemen are backing out, and you're kind of betwixt and between. You'll want to forecheck. You'll want to keep the puck in, but boy, you don't want to be on your heels when the Colorado, the, you know, their 4x4 relay team starts going up the ice. And Scandella, he was apparently, again, we got no official confirmation basically on anything. Braden Shen was the spokesman on basically what happened with the COVID testing mix-up. But, you know, Scandella's got something bothering him right now. I mean, he missed the morning skate for maintenance reasons on Monday, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened. That's what happened yesterday as well. So you factor that in, but yeah, he's had some issues. I mean, some instances, long stretches, a very solid play, but lately, not so much. And not even in giving up real estate on the rush. I mean, one of those goals from distance, he's the nearest guy to, and I this might have been one of the goals when Landeskog was the guy blotting out Jordan Binnington like a solar eclipse. But he Scandella was there, but instead of worrying about Landeskog or whoever the Colorado and just even trying to move him out at all, he's watching the puck. And I don't know. It was kind of mind boggling to watch that happen over and over and over again last night. So again, as dazzling as Colorado's skating was, again, for much of last night, it was the greasy, goals. It was the stuff in front of the net front that really did him in last night. And it was just strange to see a Blues team have this happen to him over and over again.
I'm going to pick on one more guy, and I hate to do it because he's a favorite of the net front and one of the real good guys on the team and in the league, Tyler Bozak. He's being asked to do a lot right now because we mentioned Thomas has been just hasn't emerged as what they hoped. They're playing Shen on the wing some and, you know, trying to find different combinations to work, and they're putting Tyler in some spots where they're trying to generate offense and also trying to win some faceoffs. And, you know, if you want to pick on the team for one more thing, man, this is a good faceoff team that's getting just getting savaged on the dot. And again, overall, Tyler is just in over his head with some of what they're asking him to do at this stage of his career against a team like Colorado.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he's a guy, as I watch the game, you know, we could all – one of the beauties of hockey, you can watch a game, five guys, and have five different things. He didn't really register that much his game, so I'm going to kind of rely on what you saw. But, yeah, the face-offs stuff was glaring. I mean, it was like 30% their rate was after one period, and they got a little better as the game progressed. But it was just and that's an aspect – of the Blues game that you just kind of take for granted. I mean, they're every year, and this year is no different. They're one of the best faceoff teams in the league, and it's O'Reilly and Bozak that lead the charge. But so many times setting up some of these scoring plays, it'd be down in the Blues D zone. They'd lose the faceoff. They whip it out to the point, and boom, there goes the shot. You know, and O'Reilly clearly is the MVP. I sent in my ballot to the Pro Hockey Writers. I voted for him to win the Selkie, but boy, he's had a rough series too. That hit against Landeskog, what was it, 35 seconds in? Boy, did if ever a play set the tone for a game, that did.
And I'm going to pick on, I'll give you the one visual to pick on Tyler. It goes back to game one when Cale Makar gave him the old, how do you do? Out there and
okay,
and
got onto his forehand. I do remember that, Jeff.
He gave the old how do you do and then got on his forehand, and then you know, it was you know, the result of that. So, yeah, mainly just his inability to generate things was more the fact that you didn't notice them because there weren't any plays happening, you know, and it just and that's you know, he does a lot of small things, but they're asking him to try to be a catalyst with the way they were using him, and that's just not at this point in his career against a team like Colorado, it's not going to happen. All right, so let's shift two positive things, okay? Because we're killing people.
First, Bozak, I just want to, he's had a very good season when he's healthy, but he looked like he was 35 years old.
Far play. Right, so young legs, a couple of young guys. Let's talk about Jordan Kyrou. You know, this is the Jordan Kyrou Doug Armstrong's been waiting for. He can skate with the Lanch. He can back the Lanch up off the blue line, off the rush, and now he's actually looking to shoot. And he's also mucking it up a bit along the wall. I wouldn't say he's
better. Yeah, he's doing better, much better. He's kind of getting it that this is kind of how you have to play to really make an impact in the league.
And, you know, the Chief gave him certainly leaned on him, just gave him every chance in game two to try to make a difference. And that's a long way from where he was with the Chief earlier this season.
Yeah, and that may be one of the most, when all is said and done, one of the most encouraging things about the season is the emergence of Jordan Kyrou. And you're right about the Berube mentioned it last night. And it's kind of a constant thing. And, you know, one, we talk about it about maybe they're looking for the perfect shot, the lanes. Occasionally, some of the Blues look like they don't want to shoot. Jordan Kyrou doesn't have that problem. They have only six shots on goal in the first period, and Kyrou had three of them. I mean, there was a play where Thomas had a good look, not an all-time look, past the puck. And okay, maybe you could say in theory it was a good thing to do, but Sanford didn't have a stick down, and the puck went right by. Where shoot the puck, maybe shoot it low, and you can get a rebound. Grubauer left a few kind of fat rebounds, but the Blues didn't have anyone, charging the net to get it. There was another play, a guy, Sammy Blais, is normally, he's not shy about shooting, and he passed the puck when he should have shot it. So that happens far too often with these guys, but you're right. Kyrie's not one of them. Another guy who's not afraid to shoot, sometimes to his detriment on those block shots that go the other way, Vince Dunn. And, you know, we haven't seen him in the lineup, but they need more guys like Kyrie. You got to be this should be it's a game of aggression, and they lack some aggressiveness on offense. And boy, the Avalanche don't, and it's not just their skating. They have a little bit of that Vegas in them. You know, Vegas just sent it to the net. And that's kind of what happened on Blais' goal, which sparked a terrible angle, looked like impossible angle, you know, goal line extended. He just flips it in there, and it wiggles his way past Grubauer.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to Sammy again, a favorite of the net front, a favorite of Jim Thomas. The game got a little more robust, and the Blues from the Blues side, they started playing the body more, and which is up Sammy's alley, playing a thick game, a heavy game on guys, and he does score the goal, and so he got down to the team like in Kyle Clifford, another guy I'll give a shout out to, very noticeable. Banging around, trying to throw pucks at the net, trying to sustain pressure. So it wasn't like a complete, they didn't just put a postage stamp on this. There were guys trying to make a difference. And I think this was, I don't know if Sammy's getting over the hump, but I think this is a valuable time for Sammy. He'll be an important player in these remaining games if he can stay on the ice, because, they need body contact, they need physical play, they need pucks at the net, and these are things Sammy can do.
Yeah, and I think last season and this season, Sammy's appeared to be kind of on the verge of really getting his footprint in the league, and then he always gets he always gets hurt. But he's not a fast skater, but he's got some elusiveness, pretty strong on the puck, a good passer, and he'll hit you. Can I go on just a little personal, I guess, aside and beef? I the hits in terms of how they keep stats isn't one of the most precise numbers, I would say. Now at Vegas, it's amazing because I sit right in front of their stat crew and they're fantastic. I can hear the guy, okay, hit number three, Jeff Gordon or whatever. And they have a guy just eyeballing it, and it sounds like another set of eyes backing him up, saying, no, that was number five, Timmerman. And so when Vegas says 41 hits, and which they had for the Blues in one game, they had 41 hits. So long way around. I'm looking at the stat sheet for Monday's game. I'm watching that game, and I'm like, wow, Sammy is hitting everything that moves tonight, which he didn't do when he returned from his injury in the regular season finale. I think he was just being cautious. Anyway, he's on the stat sheet in Ball Arena with the Stan Kroenke stat crew for one hit. Like, in what universe did Sammy Blay have one hit? I would have been less surprised if it's they said he had 11 hits. But anyway, all right, I just NHL stats. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, you know when they're shorting your guy Sammy now, he's your, you know, he's
right.
He's Jim
right.
Thomas guy, and he is.
He's one of my guys.
We love Sammy.
Yeah, we do.
So it's so when you look at it, see, I trying to be more circumspect about what happened this year and what is happening. I think, and I go back to the Cup year when the Blues for half a year looked like they were too slow to keep up in the modern NHL. Then they got into sync and everything started to come together with the chemistry of guys being in the right place at the right time. And they were able to play faster. They weren't fast, but they played faster than they were. I kind of look at this group the same way. Well, physically, this team is, you know, physically it's faster team and it's probably playing faster. Clearly not as physical. Now, is this team not capable of that? Or is it just the circumstance of them not working together to put themselves in position to smother the team, to get on people, to get on the forecheck? They're not there on time. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not working in concert. They're behind the play and they're caught chasing versus getting on people. I think there's an element of that. I do think they're going to need to change up the defensive core chemistry and bring in a more defensive minded guy into the mix. And I think our guy Nico needs to play and learn because he fits the model. But to me, I think Jim, a lot of it is, you know, they can play less physically than they're capable of. I think this team can, I'm not saying this team can play, you know, just be a bulldozing team with physical play, but I think it can be a lot more than they've shown. They've just been out of sorts. You know, they're just, they keep talking about being connected and all that.
I agree with you. What you the latter part of your question, when the Blues are on their game, they can play anybody, even Colorado, and they don't look slow. The Blues didn't look slow. And again, maybe, you know, Colorado's up 3-0, although it got closer. Maybe Colorado just, you know, takes their foot off the gas a little bit. But when the Blues are on their game, they don't look slow. But I think at the end of the day, this isn't – and the Berube style, it's a tough system to play. It takes tremendous amounts of hard work. I don't think – it goes back to the forecheck. I don't think this is as hardworking of a team as we saw last year, as we saw in the Cup year. I mean, you've got to want a forecheck. You know, that's more will than skill. And I'm not intimating in any way that these guys are a bunch of dogs and they don't care. They care, but some players just aren't quite the fit. Like you mentioned, Kyrou, he's going down that path. I mean, he wants to do more of that. I think Kyrou really wants to be a good player, although he's got that scorer's instinct, and there's nothing wrong with that. But boy, when you have both of them, then you've got something special. Hoffman, we talked about the tease with Hoffman is what a shot, and boy, they need that offense. But there's been times when he's been more with the program, but he's not very physical at all. Tarasenko, when he's engaged, he'll get physical, but we haven't seen a whole lot of that. So maybe not enough guys, and I don't know if buy-in's the right word, just the whole forecheck, the whole mentality that you have to play this system for it to work. Just it's not at the level that it was even last year.
Well, I think if you use like a basketball analogy, going back to your days of covering the Storm and Norman and the group, you could have a really athletic team that's crappy at pressing. They can be quick and long and all, and they can be terrible at it. And you can also have a team with sort of average athletic ability, but because of their reading, their ability to read the play, to execute the trap as designed, to read the play instinctively, to want to do it, and to make the effort to be there, they can be very effective. And that's kind of where we are with this team. You know, it's just you got to want to do it. I'm going to single out somebody, and I was kind of shocked to, and this has been a career pattern with them, but you know, Robert Thomas almost never hits anybody and almost never blocks a shot. Now, he's got the speed to get on people, and he's got the speed to get out on a shooter. He's got the speed to get on the forecheck. He's got the speed to get in on a D-man and try to separate him from the puck. And he's got the speed to hit with leverage. He's not a big guy, but he can hit with leverage because he's also put on a little muscle too. Almost never gets a hit, even if not counting what they don't count in Colorado. Just a league-wide, the guy never hits anybody, never blocks a shot. And he's got to be more engaged, and he never shoots the puck either. So you talk about a guy playing empty minutes, and we get to hate to pick on him because he's young. And I hope his family's not, listening to the net front and becoming concerned here with our attitude. But boy, there's a guy. If he could engage and add all those elements, I think Hoffman's kind of a lost cause. He is who he is. He's going to move on as a free agent. But and Kyrie's showing signs, but Robert's not. And Robert's got.
This was and again, some injury problems this year, unfortunately for Thomas, but this was a step back. And from your comments, boy, I don't know if I want to look at that Robert Thomas grade when your final report card comes out. But also you mentioned those points about the hitting and the forecheck. I thought he was better last year on the wall battles, on the puck battles in the corner and whatnot. I don't really see that either. So then when you come down to it, then you come down to tremendous passer, very good skater. And then what, you need more than that. And that's the frustrating thing, because I think he's got the ability to do more than that. And he got bigger because he still got hurt, but he got bigger and stronger without really, I don't think, losing his skating ability, because he wanted to be more durable and all that. He worked on his shooting last year. During the off season, during the long off season, but Berube's mentioned it. I'm sure what you're saying about him, I'm sure he's probably heard it from Berube.
Oh, I bet it's come up once or twice, and when you got Steve out of the bench, who was all about all those things, right? Steve Ott was about getting hits. Steve Ott was about getting pucks on the net. Steve Ott was about blocking shots. Steve Ott had a hell of an NHL career doing those things. And Thomas is an odd sized guy with plus skill, who could do all the things that Steve did and then some, right? So I would imagine, I bet there's been some conversation there as well. So as we wrap up, I guess you got to give a shout out to the Lance, JT. I mean, Cadre aside, unfortunately, Cadre has had a career of history of doing bad things, and that unfortunately reflects on his team. But I look at Kale McCarr and his wheels, and I look at McKinnon now that he's back to full speed, and I look at Rantanen, who's a moose who can skate, and I look at Landeskog, who's just the very picture of sturdiness with skill. I'm impressed. I mean, if that team, Joe Sakic said that this is our year, maybe it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? It would not be a surprise to anybody who watches this team play. I mean, my goodness, the numbers they put up this year, wow. And then when they can play at home, when they got the last change and you can't match up, man, good luck. Good luck to
sometimes,
everybody.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just got to be the old stick tap. I mean, hats off to the Avalanche. I got to say, they're a fun team to watch. And I remember Louis Couric and I talking to McKinnon in the locker room. McKinnon and Shen are really good friends, and they have a golf outing in the off season and whatnot. And just tell McKinnon, man, you are a fun player to watch. And they are. They're a fun team to watch. And this is a series where their top players are performing like top players. And we're not quite getting that from the Blues. Yeah. When you're averaging 3.5 goals a game, yeah, you've in this day and age of hockey, yeah, you're doing some things right. And they're, their defense isn't bad. What do you, and I know we got to go, but Grubauer, he's been pretty good, man. This is a career year for the guy. I mean, he's been pretty stout in this series.
He's been a good goaltender. The hard part for him has been staying healthy. Of course, last year was just a disaster for the Avalanche, and they lost both their guys. And this year they're working a tightrope because, they've lost the backup. They've had to summon additional backup help, but no, he's played well. Maybe he leaves a few rebounds. You could argue that maybe you could beat him on the glove side. You could say that about a lot of guys. But, man, he has made some saves at key times. He's made those timely saves. And in fact, they got him a couple times. And you said, like you say, in loser hockey, isn't going to bother Philip Grubauer. And he stays healthy and he's got the confidence. You look at his numbers, he's got to be feeling pretty good about himself right now. I don't think there's a whole lot of self-doubt in his mind. If you look at, you know, because he just hasn't given up much all year.
Yeah. Yeah. Confidence, as I've learned here in the hockey world, is a very key thing to have, regardless of what position you play. And right now, Colorado, a very extremely confident team. The Blues, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. Well, that's Jim Thomas. I'm Jeff Gordon. This has been the Net Front Presence. A reminder that all of our podcasts can be found on our website, stltoday.com. You can find our podcast on our stories that often are inserted into our stories. If you have a favorite podcast app, you can find us there as well. Tell your friends about it. If you hear this and you want to tell your friends that they want to hear an uplifting podcast, they haven't caught this edition, you might warn them that, well, you know, we didn't pump a lot of sunshine today here on the net front, but there wasn't much sunshine to be found. So hopefully we'll have a better chat next week. Otherwise, we'll be breaking down the season that was. But for Jim Thomas, I'm Jeff Gordon. We'll have Tom Timmerman back next week. Until next time, see ya.